You're listening to Syntax, the podcast with the tastiest web development treats out there. Strap yourself in and get ready. Here is Scott Tolinsky and Wes Boss.
Welcome to Syntax. This is the podcast with the tastiest web development treats out there. Today, we've got a very special guest. We've got Jerome Hardaway on, which I was just like making a list of bullet points of everything that Jerome has done and is involved in right now. So we'll save that for the introduction, but all kinds of really interesting stuff. Today, we are sponsored by two awesome companies. First one is .tech domain names, which is literally in the name. It's .tech domain names. And the next one is Sentry, which does all of your error and exception tracking in your front end, your back end apps. With me, as always, is Mr. Scott Tolinsky. How are you doing today, Scott?
Hey, I'm doing okay. I started a new physical therapy like first thing in the morning, and it means I have to like wake up earlier than everybody for the first time in who knows how long, and it is difficult to wake up that early. But yeah, it's nice to get that out of the way and you know, get home. And Uncle Mickey is hanging out with Lyndon right now while we record this, and yeah, that's going to be the rest of my day. It's just hanging with Lyndon in Brooklyn.
That's good. Yeah. If you hear Scott stop talking, like I was listening to the last podcast and there was like a section where Scott just stopped talking for a while because he had to run out. So if you hear Scott duck out for a bit, that's because he's got to turn Uncle Mickey back on or something like that.
Yeah. Courtney went back to work. So we're now splitting time 50-50, where before when she wasn't at work because the school shut down, it was like, oh, all right, well, you can have all the time you want to work. And now I do not get that time, which is very reasonable.
Yeah.
Yes, no kidding. It's a hard transition.
Awesome. Well, let's get into it. So Jerome Hardaway, at Jerome Hardaway on Twitter. Basically, I think you referred to yourself as the Captain America of tech. Is that right?
No, I was referred to first as the Captain America web by Kyle Shevlin. And then a bunch of guys at Twilio. They started describing me as the sergeant at arms or geek at arms of Vets Who Code and Captain America the Web. And that was like 2 years ago. And it just stuck that people started calling me, you know, I'm a huge Captain America fan. And people were like, oh, he's like the web's Captain America. So
that's a better nickname than either we have. We don't have nicknames that are that cool.
No, we don't. We need a cooler name like that. I think it's very fitting. So, Jerome, you're an avid tweeter. You have an Air Force background. You've obviously learned to code yourself. We'll talk about that. You run a thing called Vets Who Code. And then, like, most recently, given the all of the Black Lives Matter protests, the awful police brutality, you've been like an incredible voice in the web development community. And you've just been like so generous with your time and helping people figure out like how to like what do we even talk about, how to be an ally with all these voices and all that. So we thought we'd just have you on just to talk to you about everything in your background. It's very interesting, as well as because you met with Scott and I, and you sort of like helped us figure out what do we do as two white dudes in tech with a large platform, and how do we handle that? So we really appreciate that. So do you want to like give yourself a little bit of introduction? Did I sort of cover everything there?
Oh, yeah. You gave the high level overview. Like you said, my name is Jerome Hardaway. I'm the Geek at Arms or executive director. I guess I'm old enough now to be called an executive director of Vets Who Code. When I started Vets Who Code, I was like 27, 28, and I just didn't feel right with that title. Because I was like, everybody was old. So I was like, I'm not like these like ancient dudes. So I'm gonna have a title for myself. Basically, what we do is that we teach veterans how to program using JavaScript. A focus of, and we do this 100% free, no GI Bill, no government funding, nothing. With the sole focus of just, you know, teaching people JavaScript. And right now we're at a 97% success rate, 252 veterans in 37 states for jobs. Very happy about that. We're growing every day in services because we try to run it like a tech company that you can mess up at and not get fired. And just, you know, it's the joy of my life because I was a veteran coming from security forces, and a lot of these programs didn't exist at all when I was out. And the only thing they were telling me I could do was be a cop or go back overseas and go back getting shot at. And I was like, I don't like any one of those things. So I learned how to code and got my first opportunity with Department of Homeland Security with database analyst. And I never looked back. And when I was trying to help other veterans out, I was like, this you know, this is the way, like getting like veterans at early stages or any stage and teaching them how to utilize the critical thinking skills that they pick up in the military and apply that to programming. That's just what I thought of. When I'm not doing that, I was a front-end engineer at Comic Book. I love those guys. That's like, you know, it's also I kind of fit into the whole Captain America stick. Like I said, I'm a huge Captain America fan, Marvel fan.
Yeah.
You know, I was a front-end engineer. Sorry, you guys hear my dogs growling.
It's all right. You very well.
We all love dogs.
We all have annoying dogs that bark and get in the way.
Yeah, my dogs said that they're being very unfriendly with each other right now. So I was a front-end engineer at Comic Book, loved it, but I recently moved on to be a dev advocate and tech evangelist for Quicken Loans. I'm pretty sure I'm going to love that too. I'm already excited. My bosses, like, they're very aware of things that are going on and they're very supportive. And it's just, especially as a minority, it's just super cool to be in a type of environment like that where you can actually bring 100% of yourself to work. Because that's, you know, code switching and everything like that, that's a very big thing in our community. So that freedom to be able to be all of you, so that way you can perform at the highest level that you have and not have to worry about tiptoeing around people's like ideals or their the microaggressions or the thought processes that they have already preconceived in their brains about minorities. So you don't, you know, fit that. You know, and that happens in a lot of workplaces where people are, you know, they're trying to dodge that stuff so they can't, you know, they can't bring their A game. And
can't be your full self.
Yeah. That's me. A Quicken Loans dev advocate by day, executive director of Etsico by night, essentially Batman without the money and the gadgets. So
do you spend any time in Detroit at all because of Quicken?
They're going to be having me fly out there every once in a while. So I'm
cool.
Going to be up there, but I'm in Nashville.
Yeah.
Nashville is, coming from Memphis and coming from a community like, or the tech community that wasn't really evolved, Nashville's been like a complete 180 degrees. Actually, like their tech community, JavaScript community is amazing here. I don't know if you know any of the guys here, like Kyle Welch or like Eventbrite or anything like that. These guys, they really were forward thinking, especially in the South, they're really forward thinking on like how to make communities inclusive. So I'm very like appreciative of this community, but I also like, you know, I like to travel and I'm lazy. I don't like leaving home. So,
dude, I'm the same way. I just asked because I know I'm from Southeast Michigan and Quicken Loans. I know they've done a lot for the city of Detroit. I know a ton of developers who have either worked there at some point in their career or they were definitely one of the companies that was in our scene quite a bit, given our proximity. So you mentioned basically wanting to have a different path after like coming back, right? What was your introduction into programming concepts that made you want to say, all right, this is something that I really want to devote myself full into, but also like I want to show everybody else. Like, what was your introduction that made you just say, this is what I want to do this?
All right. So I saw a commercial online and they were just talking about coding at a college or something. And I was like, what is that? And I did more research and it was like, oh, you can learn how to do this stuff on your own. So I picked up SQL book. And that's how I got into, you know, SQL and, you know, Postgres and learning that stuff. And I've been dealing with, what am I thinking, Department of Homeland Security. But what really, like, helped me, like, you know, get that bug of, like, wanting to dive in was, like, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I saw business as the way for upper mobility at the fastest moments. And, like, the thing that I kept running into was, like, all of the ideas I had, they required programming and programmers cost the most amount of money when it comes to building a project. And I was like, dude, like if I can learn this stuff on my own, that will like save up a lot of the cost of, you know, building projects and stuff like that. So that's what had me dive into it. And then I just really like, man, the front end bug just really bit me, especially when it comes to user experience, because I was security forces and I put front end developers like as the elite gate guards of like the web, right? So, because in the end, users, especially your user-focused developer, users really don't care about the back end as much as it does at work, right? They want it to be fast, be pretty, and work, right? In that order. So that's where I was like, the front end guys, they kind of, you know, stole the show for me. And that's what I wanted to focus on. I never forget my first front end framework. I never forget the first time I played with a different like front end CSS framework, like animate.css. That was the first.
Oh, that blew my mind. That's one of my most watched YouTube videos, actually.
Slick Slider. That was my favorite. Like, that's actually how I met Ken Wheeler years ago. He was the first big name person, like when I was learning how to code, who actually spent like 30 minutes with me talking to me about something over online. And I don't even think he remembers it. I was like, yo, just being able to like, you know, that's what another thing that attracted me to JavaScript, like how just down to earth everybody was. It was the working man's language. It wasn't a bunch of, you know, people telling me about computer science and, you know, LIFO, FIFO, big O notation and all that other stuff. I was like, oh, these are people I can actually, you know, drink and play video games with and, you know, go from there.
It's all about like producing stuff, right? I mean, that is such a key point. It's like once you realize that your limits are like sort of boundless in what you can create with these technologies. If you're the right type of person, you just sort of move into that, holy cow, I can build anything. And then that is like so, I don't know. It's so
superpower,
right? Exactly.
It's freeing and crushing at the same time. You're sure. Like, I can do everything, but there's not enough time to do everything. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, time becomes the enemy to creativity.
Mm. Yeah. That's a perfect way to describe it, because I know I have so many side projects that are just sit unworked on because I have too much other stuff to work on, too many other cool things to build.
I tell people all the time, like, I just should just start a random Twitter where I just throw out like the first idea that came to me in that morning, and then like just have some, let someone have it. Like, I can't even ironically, I kind of did that. I started a thing down here and I just let other people take it over because I just didn't have the bandwidth, like between Vets Who Code and helping the veterans and teaching and writing. I was like, okay, you guys can have this. And they've been running with it, and I'm very like proud of them. I'm like, yeah, cool. That's awesome. So.
And that's hard to do, to give your projects over to someone else. You know, I like think about, you know, Paul Henschel, he created React Spring for animations. And then it's just like, oh, he started working on other things, but instead of just, you know, not releasing updates or whatever, he just gave it away to somebody else and let them work on it. And he'll still be there and maintain code or add code or whatever. But it's like, all right, well, I made this thing, but it I can't imagine giving away that kind of project that you've put so much time and energy into it at all. Like, that's got to be a weird feeling, right?
No, not at all. Like, that's what I think, that's part of being successful, right? Like, one of the things that I tell my veterans is that part of Vets Who Code's job is to signal boost. Every accomplishment I make, you have to make it in half the time. Like, that's what I tell them. Like, if I'm my first big company corporation job took me 4 years, then guess what? You have to do it in 2. And like, I literally tell them that, like, and they're like, holy crap. Like, and I have a few veterans that they've done that before, or beat that. I have one, Andrew, who's at Verizon. I have Jeff, who's at Microsoft, and Schuster, who's at Amazon. And they, you know, they like, holy crap. He's like really scared the crap out of me. But that's how, you know, I you know, when we come up with different channels and different projects, I'll start the project, but then I'll quickly give it to someone else, because I feel like part of my mission is to use the work and the foundation that I've done to, you know, mm-hmm. make other stars, right? Muhammad Ali said it best, you know, charity is like the rent we pay for being on earth. So that's my thing. Like, all right, I've done this. It's time for me to make sure that other people can use what I've done and use my skill sets, or use the thing whatever I've done to make it easier for them. Because if I make it to the top, it's cool. But I get a bigger high off of making, like, helping other people. So nice. I think that's the military thing for me. Like,
that's amazing. You're there. Okay. I have another name for you then. I've been watching the Michael Jordan documentary, and they were saying that the reason why Scottie Pippen, I think it was Scottie Pippen, was so good was because he didn't have to have the ball. Like, and he would just give it to the, he would just like set it up and give it to somebody to score. Like, he didn't have to be the star of the show, but he saw it as his like place to sort of set other people up. I think that's really cool that, that you're doing that as well.
I don't even know anything about basketball. Like,
me neither, except that I watched the documentary like last night.
Yes. We watched it too. And I'm so hopeless at basketball, especially like, I actually like, I can't enjoy watching basketball because of how terrible I am at it. I just know that it's like, ooh, this is just a reminder of not good for me.
Literally related to a famous basketball player and know nothing about it. Like, I'm related to Anthony Hardaway.
That's awesome. Yeah, basketball was my sport growing up, only because I was tall. And then at a certain point, everybody else caught up to me and I was no longer good at it. I didn't have that advantage. So you taught yourself the code database, and then you guys started getting into teaching yourself JavaScript and things like that. Like, at what point, like how many years in did you start Vets Who Code and start to like then teach other people? Because like, honestly, I don't know if you think this, but I think teaching other people is a great way to improve your own skill set.
You're absolutely right. So this is how it worked out. 2014 hits. The summer of 2014 was a really big year with the Department of Veteran Affairs and people in general. I'm working on veterans in general. I'm sorry. So I'm working at a nonprofit where they have me as the digital marketing admin. But really, I'm the programmer. My first day at work, they were like, hey, you're young. Can you fix our site? And it was the most God awful thing I've ever seen in my life. It took me 3 months learning LampStack, which made me hate LampStack afterwards. But now I'm learning to love LampStack again to do this. And during that summer, we had an Army veteran in my hometown end up losing his life, ended up getting shot by a wrongful bolo from Department of Veteran Affairs. And because of who was involved, the government was involved, they were like, it's not really our fault. And the most we can do is give you like a couple hundred dollars to pay for the headstone. And like, you know, yeah. So this family was just, you know, he had a daughter and everything. And oh, I was like, that's not right. That's horrible. But none of the nonprofits were going to stand up to the VA because VA is big brother. And, you know, most of them get their money through grants from the VA. So they were going to do that. So I'm at home chilling and I get a phone call from a person in another nonprofit. It's like, yo, you have to help these people. I'm like, if the VA said no nonprofit's going to help. And they're like, I'm not asking a nonprofit. I'm asking you because I know you're the only person to pull it off. It's like, oh, you're going to get me in trouble. And of course, I did get in trouble after this. But I used my digital skills. I built a website, used the things I learned about digital marketing, and I was able to generate enough buzz during this whole crazy thing of how summer was, and raised $10,000 in 27 hours. And
wow.
We were able to like give money to the family. We were able to put money aside for the little girl, everything. And that's when I was like, okay, you know, I've done my good deed forever. I'm never going to hell. I'm going to see you guys later. Peace out. And then people were like, no, you can't do that. Like, what else are you going to do? Like, you've done something. You have that capacity. Let's do something. I was like, okay, well, what helped me do this is learn how to code. And because I'm in Memphis and all the people who are at VSOs are old people, they're like, say what now? What is this? Do you think people, like, I literally was asked at one point in time, do you think that enlisted troops can learn how to code? And here I am being an enlisted troop who learned how to code. And I was like, that is wild. Well, afterwards, like General Assembly, they see the things I've done and they hit me up and they're like, hey, would you like to come up here? And like to like level up your skills and stuff. We give you a scholarship, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Let's see what happens. I go up there 6 weeks into their course. I end up getting my first job offer back home. And so I just coasted the rest of the course because I think the only thing I really learned was like command line. So
I was like, General Assembly is a boot camp in New York. Is that right?
Yeah. I was like, but the only really thing, like it was weird. Yeah. It was a whole weird experience. So I get back home and the whole time I'm teaching veterans remotely and things like that. Like this was before, especially like the nonprofit game was like very antiquated. We were the first remote nonprofit. Like, we were the first people. They were like, you know, you don't need big buildings. Like, you know, that all for me, when I was looking, like, I got this idea from being at General Assembly and from working in nonprofits. So, like, a lot of this stuff is like bloat, make people feel good, but it's not really as effective. And you can do more with less money. And yeah, that's the thing that I like really kind of focused on was like, how can I be efficient and, you know, actually accomplish the mission? Like, I remember being in Iraq, remember like how, you know, lean we were and how well we got the job done. And I was like, that's what you want. That's what you need when you're training. You need a laser focus or minimal distractions, not making you feel like you're a developer, but focusing on becoming the thing that you want to be, right? And basic training. Yeah, and basic training, everything. Like, and I understand, like, people don't like, that's why the whole boot camp, code boot camp thing is weird. It's like, it's not like code boot camp. Like, they treat you nice. They feed you all the time. It's all happy. It smells good. There's no one yelling at you. No one made you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
It's code summer camp.
You've been through a boot camp.
It's code summer camp. That's what it really is. Like, it's not boot camp. Like, if you actually went through a boot camp for coding, like, these would not be sustainable businesses. Because people would be like, I'm not doing that. It's real. Like, somebody made you do data structure and array, data structures and algorithms the way, like, you were going to, like, a military boot camp, people would quit. Like, in New York Minute, they'd be gone. I was teaching the whole time, and it helped level up my skills and ramp up my skills fast. And to this day, like, I try to teach all, like, at least one section of our cohort. And it's just, like, even from when I look at how bad I was then, how good I am now, and probably in 5 years, I'm looking at this, I'm like, yo, you were an idiot back then. Like, just everything's changed. Like, we were the first nonprofit, we were the first organization to go to completely JavaScript. We just nuked our Ruby backend, and we were like, we're gonna focus on JavaScript. Then we were the first to go serverless, and we were like, we're just gonna focus on Jamstack, serverless, focus, and like, as heavy on the language as possible. Like, I'm a firm believer in making it hurt. And that's why I chose JavaScript, because JavaScript does not care about your feelings.
No.
So I was
true words.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, so we're going to focus on pushing JavaScript to its limits for our veterans so that way they can get jobs. And it's been working. And I'm very happy for that, because, like, it's the light joy of my lifetime, helping people and helping fellow veterans.
That's unreal. I love hearing that. That's so cool that you did that. I want to know about the tech. You said Jamstack and whatnot, but like.
Well, before we want to know about the tech, maybe we should know about the .tech domains.
Oh, good, Scott. You're hot. Wow. Yes, let's talk about the .tech domains. So if you want to know about tech and you're building a website, you're building a project, you've got a side project you've working on, or you've got a business you'd like to start up and you need a new domain, you want to check out .tech domains. They're used by all kinds of people. I even use them myself. Go to uses.tech. I use that domain to create a Gatsby website. It's totally open source. You can check it out. And it lists all of the people who have a /uses page that details things like their text editor, their monitor, their mouse, the kind of toilet paper they like to use, all the stuff about the people that are on there. So if you sort of want to align yourself with the tech industry and you need a new domain name, check out .tech. You need to go to go.tech/syntax2020 and use the coupon code syntax2020. And you're going to get ready, 90% off 1, 5, and 10 year domain names. Just go ahead, buy the 10-year domain name at 90% off, and then set yourself a calendar reminder in 10 years to renew that thing. Thanks so much to .tech for sponsoring. Tweet us your .tech domain names at SyntaxFM. We'd love to see what you're building. Thanks so much to .tech for sponsoring.
Cool. So let's get into the tech now.
The Jamstack tech for Vets Who Code, like, because that's my favorite stack right now, because I'm just very happy at how it all turned out. Right now, the stack is Jamstack is serverless. Gatsby on the front end. We're using Bootstrap as a CSS framework, while also still using like Flex and Grid, of course, because we have to make sure the troops know Flex and Grid. And Amazon Web Services is part of the for some of our database, for some of our API handling, Netlify and Contentful. Those are, that's everything that we're using for the website. And the code stack, like the code is just, we redid all the code to make sure that it was as friendly as possible for beginners. Like it was, that was the most important part. We were like, it has to be beginner friendly. It can, like this whole site has to operate in a manner where people with less than, anywhere from 3 to 6 months of experience can come in and find something to do or not be intimidated. And like that's like my favorite, like, you know, it's a simple stack, but that's what makes it so beautiful. Like, it, you know, we use simplicity and ease and try to like make people feel good versus, you know, coding with our egos and things. And that's like one thing that I'm a very big fan of is egoless coding. I have a saying that I tell my veterans. I was like, no, we build products for the user, but we write code for each other. So you have to think about the person left, right of you and the person come behind you when you write code. And so when we're looking at, when we're doing our code reviews and things of that nature, that's always the first like thing. Like, did you write this code for you or did you write this code for someone else?
Yeah, sometimes people, they let their cleverness get in the way of writing code that generally makes sense to most people rather than making sense to one person or the person who wrote it. I think that's like, I don't know. I love to hear you talk about that, the joys of picking a stack that just like works for you. Cause I get those like same feelings with a lot of stacks myself when I'm coding. And I think about like, there is such a importance to really enjoying working in the code base and making it a joy to work in rather than just making it impressive to work in or something like that, you know? So I really think that's a nice message for people is that like, code for the person that's behind you. I thought that was a really cool way to say that.
Yeah. Well, like we have, I also say, I tell them clever code kills projects, right? Like when you're, cause you know, you might look smart, but the person that's coming after you is going to struggle with this. And so, you know, everything will be easier if people just thought about the most vulnerable people in their population versus themselves or making themselves look good. So like, that's what I think about. Like when I write something, I'm like, would a person, I always use that 3 to 6 month rule. Like would a person with 3 to 6 months of experience understand this? Would I be able to explain this to them? They did a little bit of research and a little bit of elbow grease. Like would they, you know, would they get this? If they would go on Stack Overflow and, or the MDN, you know, I never want someone looking at something I wrote and just freaking out over it because they can't figure it out. And I've had programmers I've worked with that are complete opposite of me. They, you know, they want to make their stuff as complex as possible because, you know, that's where they get their ego. But I'm like, yeah, I kind of like, I used to carry M4 and M9 to work every day. So I'm kind of cool in the ego stuff. Like I don't get my rocks off from like coding. I help people with code. So
I think that's important too. In like, even in API design, we talk a lot about like smart defaults and those aspects of your application that should just work, right? They should just work without having to need 1,000 different configuration elements in there. It's such a huge thing that I think many of us, because we really live in complexity all the time, that you have a hard time of like thinking in simplicity. And that's such a key thing when you're creating things that other people are both going to code in and as well as consume.
And that's like the beauty of like thinking like a junior developer, even at a senior level, because you have this high level of thinking. But if you always go back to the fundamentals, like you're able to see that, hey, yo, there's a new way to do this and new thought processes of doing this in simpler ways. I never forget having one of my troops, Carla, when we taught her like the how to use fetch. And then she used it in a code challenge that her job that she's currently working at showed, had her when they're like getting data from an API and they're like, oh, we've never seen and never have used fetch. And they're like, yo, this is brand new. So she was teaching them as that is. So like, this is how it should be like done. So
that's like such a good thing. I got a job once, maybe not specifically because, but like in my interview, they were asking about what kind of grid do we want to use for a project like this? What kind of grid would you choose to use? And I was like, well, I would use Suzy, which is a SAS library. And they were like, wait, what is Suzy? Why would you use that? We were using this. I was like, okay, well, let me sketch out why I would use it. And here's why it's better and simpler than what you're using. And I think they were just like, oh, so if you can like teach your interviewers something that they didn't know, that's like a surefire way to, as long as you can do it in a way that's tactful, that's a surefire way to look really good in a job interview.
Oh yeah. If you can teach the interviewer or something, you're probably like 80% of the way of getting that job. Like,
yeah. Yeah. That's a big help.
You help your vets get jobs as well. Do you do any interview prep for them? If so, like what do you even do to prep somebody?
Oh yes. Here's my secret to interview prepping. First thing, the interview prep begins well before the interview, right? Well, like interview prep starts with the first line of code. Like we call it, I learned it from Scott Hanselman. We call it front loading, right? Where the goal is to answer as many questions with your projects as possible prior to getting like the code challenge, right? So you're like, for instance, if you're a front end engineer, right? The things people want to know is, do you write semantic HTML? How do you write clean CSS? Do you understand design systems? Like, are you working with like a front end architecture like style, like BIM or SMAX? Are you have strong CSS? Do you understand how to use APIs? And do you have experience with the front end framework, right? So I am like thinking in that aspect of building a project, making sure that this portfolio has grid and flex components, understanding the modular, like, you know, you have scalable modular components that you can use flex with, but then with the main layout, you're using grid. Then like that first landing page, make sure it's just HTML and CSS, JavaScript, right? All that, just pure HTML, CSS, JavaScript. Then I have a secondary project like Marvel API, since I'm a comic book fan, right? So I'm have a Marvel API, and I'm gonna use React to make a search database page where you can search and find everything that, you know, is whatever Marvel superhero that you type in. So that way it'll lay out everything that you need. Then like, and make sure that's mobile first as well. So that's the first thing. I want to make sure I answer make sure it's pretty, make sure it's about me, make sure it's eye-catching. Try to tell people portfolios, stop using black in your portfolios. Portfolios are your business card. Portfolios, like if you were going on a first date, you wouldn't dress like a slob on your first date. So don't do your portfolio like that. It's dating, like trying to get somebody's attention, like trying to get them to make some bad decisions. Yeah. Let's go. So that's the first thing. I'm making sure I'm looking at the UX components of it. Like there's a really good website, Laws of UX. He actually has a book now. John Yablosky, I think, is his last name. But Laws of UX is amazing. You're trying to get the basics of UX fast. Like, dude, use that book.
This is cool.
Yeah, this is really cool. I've never seen this before.
We'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I have veterans go through that. I'm teaching them that. Then, all right, so now they're there. And we're like, okay, now you've done all this heavy lifting with this portfolio that answers all the questions. Now you can work on smaller components or projects to continue improving your GitHub and pruning your skills, or your CodePen and like improving your skills so that you can work on smaller things and more tactful things, continue to shore up like that, like code challenges, things like that. So we have a code challenge channel where they sign in every day and they can do code challenges that we pick and like we write literally based upon their skill set in the cohort. So then after that, once we're doing the interview prep, I personally look over every resume. Like if you want me to look over a resume, I'm there. I'm looking at it. I'm helping you rewrite it. I'm helping you retooling it.
What types of things are you looking for there if you look at someone's resume?
All right. So when I'm thinking of being a programmer or getting a programming job, I'm looking at first as the three users, right? Three is what I call it. So the first user is the robot, right? So like you're on LinkedIn. A lot of people don't know this, but a lot of resumes and stuff gets screened for like by bots, right? So I'm looking for keywords. I'm looking for JavaScript. I'm looking for React. I'm looking for semantic HTML. I'm looking for CSS. I'm looking for, you talk about SMAX and BAM. I'm looking for all that stuff that the robot would like also look for, the bot would like pick up on. So I'm looking for that stuff, implementing that and adding that stuff in there. Then after that, I'm looking for a nice descriptive elevator pitch style overview before people get down, get on the bottom. Then I am pruning all the military jargon out. Like that's the first thing. And it's such a hard thing for our veterans, because the things that we do in the military is really, really hard and, you know, really, really cool on a lot of things. But they are like, yo, I understand that. But for a person that's like looking at you for a software position, this isn't going to to matter to them, because one, we're less than 1% of the civilian of the population in the United States of America. Two, they are on average 9 to 11 people removed from anyone military in the United States. So no one's going to understand how you were a part of a process that protected $52 billion worth of assets. Like, and you know, they have that, first they have that knee jerk, but like, but this is a part, especially the guys have been in like more than like 10 years, they had a knee jerk reaction. Like, this is a part of my life and who I am. I'm like, yo, I understand that. However, we have to accept the world as what it is and not what we want it to be. And we have to focus, like, we have to play offense and be counter offensive. When I start talking to them in more of a tactical point of view, they start understanding things. Like, and that's, I think, part of my strength is that I live the life that they live, so I can look at it from a tactical point of view and focus on let's you know, accomplish this mission. Now that I've done that, I've cleaned up all the military jargon. I've made sure that when they're talking about their projects and the things they've done, that they've kind of covered what I call the TPC, or the total person concept, and showcasing like how much of a self-starter they are, how much, like, you know, they are into learning this craft, becoming better, and also making sure they're doing volunteer work within the nonprofit that continues to grow their skills. We start doing interview prep. We start doing mock interviews. So we've had two veterans who, like, when they went through our big boy jobs, we did 4-hour interviews with these guys, because we were like, you know, you have to do this nightmare. Like, when they get the interview position, we're like, all right, his position is what we got to prep for. This is what we're going to do. We actually have a FANG prep channel for those who end up getting FANG interview jobs.
For our audience, that's Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Google?
Netflix and Google. Yeah, like, and that's the, quite frankly, that's the worst channel to be in. Like, you don't want to be in. Like, because FANG interviews are the worst interviews, right?
Yeah, Wes and I both interviewed at Google, and we both did not get the job. So we both have firsthand experience, too, is like, yeah, it sucked.
We should have somebody on who has got a job there and talk about what the interview process is like.
Yeah, where we went wrong.
Yeah, so like, that's the channel that we run you through the gauntlet on that channel. But if it's a normal interview, we focus on a phone screen, then we focus on a technical conversation, then a code challenge, because that's usually the typical interview, right? Three things: phone screen to make sure you're not crazy, technical interview to make sure that you actually know how to talk tech to another technical person, then a code challenge to make sure that you actually can write code, right? That's the typical interview, right? Three-phase process of tech interview. Whereas, you know, FANG interviews, it's like four different interviews, and then it's like one, it's like four hours long, you got to get interviewed by the team, all this stuff. Like, average FANG interview lasts like, that process lasts like 2-3 weeks. So, like, that's how we do it, like, at VWC.
That's super helpful. It's questions we get all the time. People ask how to prep for interviews. And quite honestly, I've never, aside from good that one Google interview I talk about all the time, I've never really had a job or gone through an interview either. So,
I've been on both sides. Yeah, both sides of the table there.
But see, you front load a lot. Like, you build so much and you do so many things. Like, people already know your skills. Like, one of your first projects, the first time I heard of Wes, there was a project with like keyboards where you just press a button and it would show you the
keycode.info.
Yeah. So, like, I was doing work with accessibility on comic book, and I was looking at key codes. And I just saw that. So I can use a key code, like, for users that have less mobility in their hands. So that's what you do. You consistently and continuously build projects that add value. And the more projects you build that add value, more things you build that add value, the less questions people have.
Proof is in the pudding.
Speaking of proof being in the pudding, this is actually a real, yeah, I know it's a rough transition, but this is a real tale from distress land, where you push a repo live and Sentry saves your butt. So the sponsor that I'm going to be talking about right now is Sentry at sentry.io. Now, I just pushed out a tremendous update to leveluptutorials.com yesterday. At the time of recording, this will be months old, but it's using a new video player and all this sort of stuff, right? So this is a personal experience I had yesterday. I pushed this thing live, and Then, maybe about a fraction of a second after pushing this live, I got my first little Sentry email came in saying, hey, there's string of DD is not defined or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But the end result was is that DateFNS had changed part of their format API and you had to use little D's instead of large ones. So
I got bit by that too.
You got bit by that too. And yeah. I thought I had gotten them all and it turns out I missed one, but guess who did not miss one? It was Sentry. And that made it so that I was able to push out a fix for that within seconds of pushing out the live application. I mean, my test didn't find it. Nothing found it, but Sentry found it and let me know. And I was able to solve that bug within seconds, really reducing the time of any sort of user inconvenience. So firsthand account of Sentry being amazing. Now, Sentry at Sentry.io is the error and exception handling tool that is just really fantastic. They're going to be adding performance testing. I don't know if you've seen any of this performance testing tools, Wes, but I opted in for the beta recently. And it basically yes. is giving you the performance stats of all of the URLs basically on your site. You could think of it almost as like Google Analytics for performance. And I'm getting some really seriously good data here. Right now, I'm seeing that a page that I had typically, which was /tutorials, was pretty slow. Well, the past 94 users on that page have had an average load time of 500 milliseconds, which for me, pretty good. I like that. I like that it's in the milliseconds. We didn't hit a second even for the load time. And that was one of the slowest loads on my entire site. So I'm getting a ton of use out of these performance tools already. I've only had them up for 24 hours. Sentry at Sentry.io, one of my absolute favorite tools for all those reasons and more. Use the coupon code TASTYTREAT, all lowercase, all one word, and you're going to get 2 months for free. So thank you for Sentry for sponsoring.
There's obviously a lot going on right now in every community, and the web development community is sort of responding to police brutality and all the protests and whatnot. And Scott and I hopped on a call. I'm like, Scott, we need to do something. Mm-hmm. We're all ready to go. And then Jerome hopped in. He's like, hey, Wes, like, let me know what you're going to do. And so we jumped on a call and very, very appreciative for your time and whatnot.
Well, we had a conversation. Your initial thing was like, all right, let's do one-on-one time with people of color, black people and women, and see, like, let's go through their things, go through mentorship. And I was like, that's okay. But when you really are missing the mark on is that you guys have a voice that you can mm-hmm. both provide allyship and amplification to people who already have the talent. What we've already learned is that there is no such thing as a lack of black talent. What there is a lack of employers willing to drop their pattern matching practices and, you know, invest and take chances on minorities, on people of color, on Latinx, on trans people. Like that is the problem that we're having in the tech community. It's not there's not enough black people. Like there's a whole website called the Black Talent, Tech Talent Pipeline that they're talking about it. And so the Black Codes, they're a user group in Nashville and they're building that talent up as well. So these things, They're there. They exist. What needs to happen is that people like you guys who have that forum, this platform, take those opportunities, find things you like, find people that you already found are amazing. If you have any tips for them, make those tips. You have introductions, make those introductions. Let people know that these people exist because amplify that idea of, you know, make the wire, right? Wire, right? Like, because that's the issue that we have. It's not that this talent doesn't exist. It's that people are not willing to take a chance. And if you guys were taking that chance, other people are going to be more open to taking that chance because that's just how the world works. That's how Vets Who Code started. That's how the whole learn how to code as a veteran kind of started. When I was telling people you should learn how to code, people were like, cool. But when I wasn't the person getting paid to code, no one was listening. Then when I was making the money with coding and I was having a fun lifestyle, people were like, yo, how do I learn how to do that? So somebody has to make the first move and amplify and be like a real, like, legit ally. Yes, like you said, I'm doing positive things on Twitter. I'm trying to just mitigate people's emotions because I know
you're doing an excellent job at it.
I've been in firefights, I've been in mortars. I know how hard, like, in how emotional things can be and good. And I know that, you know, this is a marathon, not a sprint. So, and stress is like the number one killer of things like when we're dealing with things like this. So you have to be able to think in a manner to where you're focused on solving a problem, but you're not letting the, you know, naturally human things like affect your like process of solving it. Cause like, you are completely justifying your anger. You are completely justifying your stress and your worry and things like that. Like, you know, I have boys and I am like terrified. Like the idea of driving my wife's car, like she has, like I have a like little like Honda Sonata because I picked that car just because of like no one's gonna think that's suspicious or anything. My wife has a Mercedes. I'm like, I can't have my 17-year-old like drive that thing. Like cops will pull him over. I am terrified of what might happen. Like I had to explain that to a friend who, you know, it's cool that you see that all the things that I've gotten, but at the same time, you know, cops don't ask me for my DD-214. Cops, I'm still five times more likely to get.
What's that? Sorry, what's that?
DD-214.
Tell the Canadian.
I'm sorry. It's the form that the military gives you once you get out. Like, you know, even as the executive director of ETSUCO, I have to constantly remind people that, yes, I am a veteran. And then they think the whole, oh, you bleed green, so, you know, color doesn't matter. I'm like, no, pause, I'm black, too. I was like, I was born black. I earned the right to be called a veteran. Like, they're not, yeah. They don't, like, they're not separate. They're the same thing. I'm a black veteran. Like, that's how I'm described. So that whole, like, I'm trying to help people stay calm because I'm like, you know, this stuff is hard and it's not going to be over anytime soon. So to do this work, you got to take care of yourself. Like, you know, drinking water, eating right, you know, learning how to deal with your stress. Like that's, you know, taking care of your mental health, all this stuff to get this mission done. You know, you're going to have to a lot of self-care and a lot of prep and a lot of planning, a lot of strategic thinking because, now, one mistake, people are going to try to exploit it or, you know, make it like, you know, we're in this new weird thing where the, you know, Antifa boogeyman is what caused everything. And I'm like, wait, what? and it's just, it's a weird thing, and particularly because I'm a veteran. So people assume that I have a heavy conservative leaning. And I'm like, no, further from the truth, veterans are just like, and military people are just like everything else. There's just the most vocal people tend to usually be on the extreme side of one side or the other. But we're, you know, a healthy mix of everything else. And I've been reading reports and articles all week of like people who have felt, who are upset and mad, and like from generals to National Guard, they were in DC and they were like, we should not have been there. That was the wrong thing. And that's kind of what made me like say something. I was looking around my constituents who are executive directors, like they weren't saying anything. I'm like, are these 50-year-old dudes like not saying a damn thing? And I'm like, okay, so y'all not gonna, okay, I guess I'll be the first person to say something. And I was like, I was like, no, I walk for a limp every day because putting boot to ass on my country. And I'll be damned if I'm watching y'all like do this type of shit. Like, this is insane. And I'm sorry for swearing, like, but that's where it got like emotional.
No.
Like this, yeah. Like it made me visibly angry and I had to say something, but then I also knew that, yo, while you're angry, you have to mitigate that and control it and actually think of strategically. So I'm like, yo, do the work, you know, allies, like people are like, oh, you know, some people they're getting tired of talking to people about allyship. I'm like, yes, it's hard, but you still have to do it because, you know, being an ally is hard. Like we're asking, I'm telling people all the time, like you're asking somebody to give up something that in the animal kingdom, like no one, you could ask a tiger to get to the level of a deer, right? Like it's wild. I say, yo, let's get rid of the things that are the systems that are in place to make us more equal. So that way, to make us equal, so you don't have these predisposed advantages of me in our society. That is hard for someone to come up and say, like, yes, I am aware that there is a systemic racist system in place that keeps me from getting ahead of you, that keeps you from getting ahead in the same manner I do. I understand that because of the system, you have to work twice as hard for the same thing. I understand that even though you might have accomplishments, there are things that are in the way that aren't for you, that aren't in the way for me. I understand totally. That.
Yeah.
How do I help be a part of the solution and not the problem? That's freaking hard, right? So I'm like, no, as difficult as it is, like pointing a book, I'm still honored when people ask me, because I'm like, yo, well, yeah, let's have this conversation. Because I'm like, yeah, I know that's difficult. Like, that's especially like you, like people are asking me during that time frame, like everybody's emotions are kind of shot. So, you know, come up to a black person, ask them, like, how do you help make you, you know, a better person? Yeah. You're like a little nervous.
It's the last thing we wanted to do.
Yeah, like, you know, you're a little nervous. Yeah. I get it. Like, okay, yeah, things are wild. Like, you're, you know, there's a lot of emotions going on. You're like, he might cuss us out. Like, well, like, it's like, you, everybody has to control themselves on that, because, like, the only way we win is as a unit, right? We can't be totally a singular forward motion. It has to be a unified set. Like, you know, this is how you solve it. And it's not about getting political. It's about, you know, it's everybody against racism. It's not, you know, just Democrats or conservatives or Republicans or libertarians. It's everybody against racism. And we, like, it's a global issue. Like, if you're in a country where it's not black people, but it's another culture, we're against that too, right? It's everyone. That's like my message was, because to me, it was a horrible thing, but the ingenuity that came from people being calm and stuff was just amazing. Like how the K-pop like stance took over. Yes. Like,
bizarre. Yeah,
that was like, yo, it was like Avengers Endgame. People came out of the woodwork. We had the Amish. We had K-pop. We had witches. Like,
yeah.
Like, yo, this is legit. Like Avengers Endgame, when at the end I was like, yo,
everybody's right, come together.
So like, I was like, this is what it's about. Everybody working together to in a systemic issue, because we're all getting, you know, you saw the New York Times bestsellers list. Every book was about, like, you know, being able to like see the systemic racism in yourself and being able to be a better ally. And I was like, yo, that is like, these are the steps. I mean, that people are wanting, like, to people are wanting to end it. So it's like, if there are, just like with veterans, like if there's a veteran that's willing to do the work, I'm going to be there for them. There's a person, an ally that was willing to do the work, I'm going to be there for them. Like, that's like what we're supposed to be for. We're supposed to help each other, right? I like, you know, and I know I tell people all the time, like my wife, she gets on my nerves about it, because I'm like, she's like, you're super selfless and you don't take any time for yourself. I'm like, that's the point. Like, military taught me, you know, service for self, service, excellence, and pride. Like, service for self, excellence is all we do. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So that is like integrity first. So being honest, doing the right thing, no one's looking, taking care of people, like putting yourself, like, you know, to be selfless. Like, that is a act of leadership. Servant leadership is where it's at. So that's where I'm like, I have to help people. I can't just sit that way. I couldn't just, like, especially, like, you know, I'm one of the hot, more visible veteran leadership, and I'm the only black one under like 40. And I'm like, if I don't say anything, then who the hell will? So like, what am I supposed to do? Like, you know, you got the big six just chilling. So I was like, okay, I got to do something.
Totally. That's a blog post I think I want to see you write. Is, I have a few notes here throughout the entire podcast. It's just like, skills the military has taught you to critical thinking, level-headedness, stressful situations, helping others. Like, I would love to just see, like, it's super hot right now. I don't know, but is that allowed? I know all the Navy SEALs are writing books right now, right?
Oh, yeah. It's allowed. Like, they're not supposed to, but they, you know, the government will, like, charge them, like, $1 million, and, like, they'll make, like, 10, so it's okay. But, yeah, you can totally talk about that stuff all the time. Like, that's one of the things I always tell people. Like, I think people, especially with enlisted troops, folks think that you're out there just following orders, and it's like, no, like, we're the ones, we're in a constant feedback loop. Like, Kanban is used out in the field, like, you know, doing small tasks. Yeah, like doing small tasks, things like that. Like, stand-ups, we, like, it's not just not called stand-up. Like, we don't call it stand-up, but, like, we literally have, like, protocols we're in, we're doing, we're on patrol, we circle up. Like, if it's more than a minute, we're on a knee, if it's more than 5 minutes, we go prone. We're checking who's red, if you're red for ammo or green for ammo, if you're red for water, green for water, if you're red for food, MREs, all that stuff. Like, how was your battery life and stuff like that? We do these systemic checks all the time. Like, it's just a knowledge transfer of how to operate with that. Like, that's all it is. Like, when we teach, my favorite part of Vetsuco is teaching people Kanban, because you, when they see how Kanban is and you put that knowledge transfer of how it works in like rapid deployed forces, and they see that, oh, they're using this. So it like alleviates like some of the stress of them, because you're like, yo, I kind of already know how to do this. It's just a different way. And I, that's a part of being able, that's part of community and being able to be in like the community. It's like, okay, I was a veteran. I know how this lifestyle is. I'm a programmer. I know how this lifestyle is. And I know where they like, or the intersection of them. Like, and that's where I try to focus on when I teach. I'm like, this is, you remember when you did this? This is how it works, right? On this side, like same thing, like, that's what it's about. Knowledge transfer, helping people, pushing forward, get the one unified mission across.
Beautiful. Is there anything else that like specifically you wanted to get across to our audience, or you, we didn't talk about, that you'd like to talk about?
No, I mean, this was a blast. You know, take care of each other, support veterans, Black Lives Matter. Like, just be the change you want to see. Be the superhero that you wish you had when you were a kid. So, like, that's like that's one rule that I follow.
Amazing, amazing. All right, let's get into some sick picks. This is the part of the podcast where we pick things that are sick. I'll start with mine, just because I have it right here, and it's a YouTube channel. So, over the last, I don't know, eight or so months, I've been doing a whole bunch of research and trying to learn about, I want to convert either an ATV or a go-kart to electric. So I want to buy like a gas one that the engine has exploded and convert it over to electric. And I've watched a bunch of stuff on how batteries work, and I feel like I've got it down. I've talked about that in the past, but now I'm trying to understand motors, gearing, torque, how come horsepower, electric horsepower versus gas horsepower, all that works. And I've just been ingesting for probably the last 6 months or so all of Jeremy Fielding's YouTube videos. And he has got all kinds of videos on different types of motors, what motors are good. Like, if you pull a motor from a treadmill versus a microwave, like, what's better, even though they go the same speed. Actually, I don't think a microwave goes the same speed as a treadmill, but it's just like awesome. He's a self-taught engineer, so there's no background in this stuff, just all self-taught, and it just makes so much sense to me. So check it out, Jeremy Fielding on YouTube.
Well, that was pretty good. I never heard of that. I am going to sick pick a show on Netflix. I feel like Netflix is so persistent around everybody right now. Everybody has Netflix, right? So hopefully I'm not leaving too many people out here. But I don't, have you ever seen the show Explained? I believe it was created by Vox, but it's been around for a couple seasons now. And I got my parents into this because we watched one on tattoos. My dad got into tattoos, and it was sort of like the history of this. But Explained is basically these deep dives into explaining various things, right? Like, so one of them would be like tattoos and why it was taboo and the history of it. Another one would be like cricket. Like, I don't know anything about cricket, but explains the whole history of the video game, or the video game, the game, the sport cricket. there's so many of these amazing ones. K-pop one, I didn't really know too much about K-pop, and this gave me the whole background. There was one really important episode in relation to some of what we talked about here, but there was one called The Racial Wealth Gap Explained, and it was talking about how loans were issued in specific neighborhoods and directed Black families and specific ones, and how some of these things that underline sort of how we got here and how sort of the quote unquote American dream was not available to everybody. So if you watch this season, really put on The Racial Wealth Gap. It was one of the most important things that I've watched on in this, but just about every single one of these is fantastic. There's a couple seasons of it. And Courtney and I just binged through all of these. They're all pretty quick, like 20 minutes long, and really, really just well done, well produced. Oh, there's one on coding. I don't know if I've seen the one on coding. Hey, interesting.
I'm in. Jerome, do you have any sick pick today?
Yeah, I have two. It's a show. If you're looking for a show, HBO, they have The Watchmen. I don't know if you guys have watched it yet, but...
I haven't seen the show.
Yeah, that series is amazing. It's really well written. And ironically, or some of the things that people have learned, I think especially in my circle, because I'm a big comic nerd, people have kind of started, like, it was the first show that woke them up because it covers Black Wall Street and the Tulsa, Oklahoma massacre and things of that nature. And I never forget when someone was like, why would they make this such a horrible thing up? And I was like, that's real. And she was like, what? Like, yeah, that's real.
The stuff that we're not taught in school.
Yeah. So I was like, no, you're not taught in school like that. And she was like, I like lived in Oklahoma my whole life. I never knew about this. I was like, yikes. The technical vidrio is like the thing that I am like on fire about right now. It's a holographic, basically screen mirrors your video. So you can do tutorials and things of that nature and walk through the tutorials and people can see you in the background versus you like being, you know, a little square here.
What's it called? Vidrio?
Vidrio is V-I-D-R-I-O. Absolutely on fire about it. I love it. Like, because the idea of like not having to be this little itty bitty square.
Oh, it's fun.
There's something
cool.
There's
no better way. I've never heard of this. Yeah.
I just learned about it like last week and I have been playing with it every day.
Yeah. You got to see this to understand what it is. Cool. I'll put the link in the show notes as well. Sick pick, Jerome.
Thank you.
All right. Shameless plugs. I'm going to shamelessly plug all of my courses. Westboss.com/courses. Check it out. Coupon code Syntax for $10 off.
Yep. I'm going to shamelessly plug my courses as well. The course we're doing for this month, because we do a monthly course over at Level Up Tutorials, is on design systems with CSS and CSS variables. We're using modern CSS stuff to do creating design systems.
For me, of course, I'm going to shamelessly plug everything VWC. We just started, some of the veterans have started a podcast where they're interviewing grads and talking about all things tech from the point of view of like a transitioning veterans. So definitely check that out. We just got our GitHub sponsors for our org. Please, like if you want to sponsor our tech so that way we can continue to like build new things. Our end goal is to take that website and have it to the point where we have videos where you're going to be using Replit along with the videos and have it, you know, you'd be able to plug in, sign in with your GitHub, your Stack Overflow, like our end game, like, which means big shout out to Alassian and Jira for hooking us up with all of their Jira products. Because our end game for the website for the next year to 2 years is insane. Like that platform is like, it's going to be able to help us ramp up to going from maybe 40, 50 veterans a year to hopefully like 500 veterans a year with ease. Like, I'm so excited. Yeah, and just donate and listen to our stories, follow the things that we're doing. Like our Twitter page, our Twitter is at VesuCode. I'm at Jerome Hardaway. I'm always like, I'm just trying to be positive and help as many people as I can.
We definitely appreciate you. You're doing amazing things, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Roger that. Thank you guys for inviting me.
Of course.
Oh, you're welcome. All right. Talk to you later. Peace.
Peace. Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.